And hello, my good people. Hello, all. I know it's a it has been a minute since we have put out a new episode of Sonic Reformation. I say we because normally it is myself, that being Britt, Trucker Paul, and Jeff the El Jefe. But it's just going to be me today. The other two are working away, so you're just going to be stuck with me today. Hey, I want to say thank you to all of you all who have emailed us, messaged us, reached out asking when another episode was going, when a new episode is going to be coming out. And in saying that, thank you for reaching out to us, but I also must repent because to some of you all, I said soon. To some, I said next week, and then that week would go by and there wouldn't be a new episode. So I'm sure you guys are thinking, well, this Brit, he's just a straight up liar. And I'm just pouring my heart out to you guys saying I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. So you may be asking, what's taken so long? Where have you been? Where have y'all been? And that's a good question. You know, there's times being a pastor when it gets really hectic, and I will always lay down the podcast before I lay down taking care of the congregation. But even saying that, that's a lame excuse. There's always 45 minutes here or there where I could just walk to the back of the church and record a podcast. And I don't know. I don't want to say it's burnout. I don't want to say it's I'm not tired of discernment. I mean, that's what we are called to do, is to be discerning. But I think there's times where you just probably need to step back. Maybe that's what happened. There's really not a good answer. It's Paul's got a new job, so Paul's doing that. Jeff's extremely busy, and so we weren't able to hook up like we once were. And I kept thinking, Britt, you're at the church every day. The podcast room, what we call the spotter shed, is in the back of the church. It's only steps away from my office. So maybe thinking out loud, is it laziness on my part? Could be. Well, anyway, I'm saying I am sorry for not putting out an episode sooner. I'm sorry for lying and saying that I was going to put an episode out sooner. Just please accept my apology. All right. So, and what's been going on since we've been gone? Well, there is an election coming up. I don't know if you guys knew about that, but there is. It's kind of a big deal. 2020, Biden and Trump. I think we've gone through two debates between the president and Biden. We've gone through the vice president debate between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. And I know you're sitting there asking, what in the world are you doing? Why are we speaking on politics? Why are you talking about politics? Well, I wouldn't have to if we didn't have so many so-called pastors and theologians, the likes of David Platt, John Piper, the Gospel Coalition, coming out and writing these either books or strange articles, making it sound, you know, and this is I think where one of my issues, it's what drives me crazy, put it that way. If you're a pastor, a so-called well-respected pastor in the evangelical intelligentsia realm, if you're going to write a book or an article, don't leave people guessing. I mean, if you're man enough to write the book or man enough to write the article, make it clear. I know one of the things that Piper, in his recent article, let me see if I can pull this up here. I don't want to read the whole thing, but I may end up having to. Let's see. Is it In Desiring God? Let me pull it up. This makes for great radio. Hey, Britt, good job in not putting a podcast out in a couple of months and then getting on here and showing that you haven't put out a podcast in a couple of months by you looking something up while everyone is just waiting around. Good job, Britt. All right, so here it is, Desiring God. This is John Piper. Policies, persons, and paths to ruin. Pondering the implications of the 2020 election. Do I read this whole thing? I really don't want to. It's long, but let's do it anyway. All right, so this is written by John Piper, October 22nd, 2020. Again, we had this presidential election coming up. And here's what Piper has to say. This article is probably as close as you will get to an answer on how I will vote in the upcoming presidential election. Probably? Right. Only God knows what may happen in the next days. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there. So this is why I have an issue when, again, the so-called intellectuals just don't come out and say what they're saying. Is he saying, right, only God knows what may happen in the next days? As if he's saying that God may take Piper, so he's not going to be able to vote? Or is he saying that his mind may be changed in the upcoming days to where who he's thinking about voting for now, he's not going to? See, it just drives me crazy. Just put it down. Just say what you want to say. Anyway, it says here, nothing I say here is intended to dictate how anyone else should vote, but rather to point to a perspective that seems to be neglected. Yes, this perspective sways my vote, but you need not be sinning if you weigh matters differently. All right, pause. And some folks may find this offensive. And I don't care. And I say I don't care because, as Ben Shapiro says time and time again, truth doesn't care about your feelings. The truth of the matter is, a Christian cannot vote for Joe Biden, cannot vote for the Democratic Party, cannot vote for the party that is okay with killing babies. Doesn't matter what trimester it is, all the way up to birth. They're okay with killing the baby. If the abortion fails and the baby is born, they're going to lay the baby down, have a discussion. Remember, this was talked about. They'll have a discussion on whether or not they should care for the baby or maybe just let the baby die. Because it wasn't in their plan for the baby to be born. That's how far the Democratic Party has gone. This is also the same Democratic Party that states that eight-year-olds should be able to determine what sex they are. That's crazy. Most of the time, an eight-year-old is confused whether they're T-Rex one day or Batman the next. And here, you're going to allow them to make a decision on their gender by using hormones to alter their body, by maybe even going through an operation to remove certain body parts. They're eight. I mean, it just, what you're saying when you say that a child can make the decision to transition, and this word, it's just so anti-biblical. You're saying that God made a mistake when he made that child. You're also, a Christian cannot vote for the Democratic Party because it's the Democratic Party that wants to destroy the sanctity of marriage. They already have by redefining it. Scripture tells us marriage is between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. That's just not, it's not how it's laid out. Let's see. You're also speaking about the Democratic Party, the anti-God party, that wants to continue to tell the United States that it is made up of a system that is racist. I see no evidence of that. We're not to bear false witness. I also see the Democratic Party, the anti-God party, eventually wanting to silence the church. make the church an enemy of the state. If we do not bow down to their wickedness when it comes to gay marriage, transgenders, the killing of babies. I just don't, there's no way possible that a Christian can vote for the anti-God party, also known as the Democratic Party. So here Piper continues. Actually, this is a long overdue article attempting to explain why I remain baffled that so many Christians consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, and the like to be only toxic for our nation, while policies that endorse baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach are viewed as deadly. The reason I put those Greek words in the parentheses is to give... Oh, yeah, actually, he did put the Greek words in parentheses when it comes to unrepentant boastfulness, the unrepentant vulgarity. And so anyway, he says the reason I put those Greek words in parentheses is to give a graphic reminder that these are sins mentioned in the New Testament. To be more specific, they are sins that destroy people. They are not just deadly. They are deadly forever. They lead to eternal destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They destroy persons, Acts 12:20-23. And through persons, they destroy nations, Jeremiah 48:29-31 and 42. Goes on to say, persons, forgiveness through Christ is always possible where there is repentance and childlike trust in Jesus. But where humble repentance is absent, the sins condemn. The New Testament teaches that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:21, and that those who practice such things deserve to die, Romans 1:32. To which you may say, so what? Rejecting Jesus as Lord also leads to death, but you are willing to vote for a non-Christian, aren't you? I am assuming there is enough overlap between biblical uprightness and the visible outworking of his character and convictions. My point so far is simply to raise the stakes of what is outwardly modeled in leadership so that Christians are given pause. It is not a small thing to treat lightly a pattern of public behaviors that lead to death. Okay. So my understanding, and again, I wish sometimes the intelligentsia would just be clear in what they're trying to say. My understanding is that what Piper is saying is for Christians who vote for Trump are voting for a man who doesn't repent of being boastful, doesn't repent of vulgarity, and because he doesn't repent, then we should consider endorsing the anti-God party, which is in line for killing babies, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach. That's what he's saying there. It is not a small thing to treat lightly a pattern of public behaviors that lead to death. When it comes to voting, you're not voting for the morality of a person. You're voting for the party that is going to be leading the nation. Do you want a party leading the nation that is in favor of killing babies, switching genders, suppressing the church? Is that... So, don't vote for a man who isn't moral, who doesn't repent of his sins, but vote for the party that is going to continue killing babies, switching their genders, pressing the church. He goes on to say, Piper, nations. In fact, I think it is a drastic mistake to think that the deadly influences of a leader come only through his policies and not also through his person. This is true not only because flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, immorality are self-incriminating, but also because they are nation-corrupting. They move out from centers of influence to infect whole cultures. The last 5 years bear vivid witness to this infraction of at almost every level of society. Okay. I don't think anyone is going to argue with me when they say, or when I say that Trump, he's not a moral man, but the party that he represents holds to the moral understanding conservative Christians, for the most part, should be holding to. I'm not saying we're in line with everything that the Republican Party is about, but we can line up with them when it comes to not killing babies, you know, suppressing the church, the issue of allowing children to switch genders. I don't understand what Piper is trying to say when he talks about this is true not only because flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, immorality are self-incriminating, but also because they are nation-corrupting. They move out from centers of influence to infect whole cultures. I don't get that. I don't think because we have a man in office who is boastful and brash that it's changed a nation. I think the evidence is actually quite opposite when you look at the economy. Before the pandemic hit, it was booming. Even when you look at what Trump was doing for the black community, it was the lowest unemployment rate for blacks in I don't know how many years. But also the prison reform that Trump was able to pass. I think one of the biggest issues, and again, look, I'll say it, he is brash and he is a boastful man. But one of the biggest issues is that people are, and I know what you're going to, before I say it, I know you're already going to be thinking, well, just a Fox News propaganda machine he is. No, but if you were to actually look at the facts and not just focus on what mainstream media is saying about Trump, there's a truth that's out there that's not being discussed. Instead, we're being fed the lies over and over again that he's a racist, that what he's done for the economy has been horrible, that he hasn't handled the pandemic well at all. And I just don't see the proof of that. You want to talk about 212, I can't remember the number that we're at now of how many deaths there's been because of the pandemic. It's been horrible, but it's been worldwide. It is a pandemic. It's not just here in the United States. So I don't know if Hillary Clinton was in office, if it would have been handled any better. I don't know how it really could be because this is something that we haven't experienced before. And again, look, I'm not saying that Trump is a righteous man, nowhere even close. I just don't understand what Piper's talking about. He goes on to say, this truth is not uniquely Christian. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5:6, bad company ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33, whether you embrace that company in your house or on social media, it corrupts. There are sins that lead people into more and more ungodliness as their talk spreads like gangrene. 2 Timothy 2:16-17. There is a character connection between rulers and subjects when the Bible describes a king by saying he sinned and made Israel to sin. 1 Kings 14:16 does not mean he twisted their arm. It means his influence shaped the people. That's the calling of a leader. Take the lead in giving shape to the character of your people so it happens for good or for ill. You have a party that is for killing babies, lopping off certain body parts on boys who want to be females, and pumping them up full of estrogen, something their body was never meant to receive at the level that it's going to be given to them. The same goes for the females. You're going to pump them up with testosterone so that they can make believe to be a male I can't believe this article was even penned. He continues, is it not baffling then that so many Christians seem to be sure that they are saving human lives and freedoms by treating as minimal the destructive effects of the spreading gangrene of high-profile, high-handed, cultural-shaping sin? This point has special relevance for Christians. Freedom and life are precious. We all want to live and be free to pursue happiness. But if our freedoms and even our lives are threatened or taken, the essence of our identity in Christ, the certainty of our everlasting joy with Christ, and the holiness and love for which we have been saved by Christ, none of these is lost with the loss of life and freedom. Therefore, Christians communicate a falsehood to unbelievers who are also baffled when we act as if policies and laws that protect life and freedom are more precious than being a certain kind of person. The church is paying dearly and will continue to pay for our communicating this falsehood year after year. The justifications for ranking the destructive effects of a person's below the destructive effects of policies ring hollow. I find it bewildering that Christians can be so sure that greater damage will be done by bad judges, bad laws, and bad policies that is being done by the culture-infecting spread of the gangrene of sinful self-exaltation and boasting and strife-stirring. How do they know this? Seriously, where do they get the sure knowledge that judges, laws, and policies are less destructive than boastful factiousness in high places? So he even brings in the judges. You know, it's not important to have the Supreme Court at least have some conservative judges on there. I mean, is the Amy Coney Barrett, was that not a good thing for our nation, John Piper? And what about laws? What about the Equality Act, John Piper? The Equality Act would provide consistent and explicit anti-discrimination protection for LGBTQ people across key areas of life, including employment, housing, credit, education, public spaces and services, federally funded programs, and jury services. It says here, the problem, despite significant steps forward, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, LGBTQ, Americans lack, read that sentence again, because I just get all tongue-tied there. Despite significant steps forward, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer LGBTQ Americans lack basic legal protections in states across the country. The patchwork nature of current laws leaves millions of people subject to uncertainty and potential discrimination that impacts their safety, their families, and their day-to-day lives. Our nation's civil rights laws protect people on the basis of race, color, national origin, and in most cases, sex, disability, and religion. But federal law does not provide consistent non-discrimination protections based on sexual orientations or gender identity. The need for these protections is clear. Nearly two-thirds of LGBTQ Americans report having experienced discrimination in their personal lives. Everyone should have a fair chance to earn a living and prove a home for their families without fear of harassment or discrimination. So what is this act? The Equality Act would provide consistent and explicit non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people across the key areas of life, including employment, housing, credit, education, public spaces and services, federally funded programs, and jury service. Okay, so you may be asking, why are you bringing this up? Well, this, of course, is something that the Democratic Party is trying to push through. So what happens if a LGBTQ person applies for the church, wants a job at the church? The church doesn't stand for that. We're perfectly clear and open. The true church is clear and open where we stand when it comes to the Word of God. So what's going to keep someone from the LGBTQ community, if this act is passed, from coming and applying at a true church? And is the true church not going to be able to say, we can't hire you because you don't line up with what we hold to? Is that going to demand a lawsuit? If you're a small church and you get sued, you're done. You're done. And John Piper is a really smart man. I do not understand his logic when it comes to this. To sit there and make it sound like Christians can vote for the anti-God Democratic Party, it's just insane. But that's how this article reads. And he's not clear. He's not clear. Okay, back to this article. What about abortion? Where does the wickedness of defending child killing come from? It comes from the hearts of self-absorbed arrogance and boasting, James 4:1-2. It comes from the hearts that are insubordinate to God. In other words, it comes from the very character that so many Christian leaders are treating as comparatively innocuous because they think Roe and SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, and Planned Parenthood are more pivotal, more decisive battlegrounds. I think Roe is an evil decision. I think Planned Parenthood is a code name for baby killing and, historically at least, ethnic cleansing. And I think it is baffling, presumptuous to assume that pro-abortion policies kill more people than a cultural, saturating pro-self pride. When a leader models self-absorbed, self-exalting boastfulness, he models the most deadly behavior in the world. He points his nation to destruction, destruction of more kinds than we can imagine. It is naive to think that a man can be effectively pro-life and manifest consistently the character traits that lead to death, temporal and eternal. John Piper is saying that a man's attitude, his behavior, is more destructive or is equally as destructive as the laws that say it's okay to kill a baby. It's okay to change the gender of a child. It's okay to promote the LGBTQIAA plus whatever community. This just baffles my mind. He goes on to say, word to pastors. May I suggest to pastors that in the quietness of your study, you do this. Imagine that America collapses. First anarchy, then tyranny from the right or the left. Imagine that religious freedom is gone. What remains for Christians is fines, prison, exile, and martyrdom. That's what'll happen. If the Democratic Party is placed in charge, I'm not saying it's going to happen next year in 4 years, but we'll bring it closer. Okay, back to this article. Then ask yourself this. Has my preaching been developing real radical Christians? Christians who can sing on the scaffold, let goods and kindred go, let this mortal life also, the body that may kill, God's truth abide still, his kingdom is forever. Christians who will act like the believers in Hebrews 10:34, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and abiding one. Christians who will face hate and reviling the exclusion for Christ's sake, and yet rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, their reward is great in heaven. Have you been cultivating real Christians who see the beauty and the worth of the Son of God? Have you faithfully unfolded and heralded the unsearchable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3:8? Are you raising up generations of those who say with Paul, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, Philippians 3:8? Have you shown them that they are sojourners and exiles, 1 Peter 2:11, and that their citizenship is in heaven, from which they await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20? Do they feel in their bones that to live is Christ and to die is gain, Philippians 1:21? Or have you neglected these greatest of all realities and repeatedly diverted their attention onto the strategies of politics? Have you inadvertently created the mindset that the greatest issue in life is saving America and its earthly benefits? Or have you shown your people that the greatest issue is exalting Christ with or without America? Have you shown them that the people who do the most good for the greatest number for the longest time, including America, are people who have the aroma of another world with another king? Those verses are wonderful. Love those verses. But what he's missing is that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as Christians in this nation of ours to keep the anti-God laws out of it. If we are believers, that's what we are called to do. We do not want laws that are against God. So if we're giving, if we've been given the ability to vote for a party who does not stand for that, just because you don't like the man's personality, you're still going to vote for the party that goes against that which is wicked. It's not that difficult. They are the party that does not stand for killing babies. They are the party that does not stand for cramming the LGBTQIA++ down your throat. They're the party that does not stand for chopping off little boys. I won't go any further with that because these little boys think that they're girls. That the Democratic Party, they're for those things. They're for shutting down the church. You look at what's taking place right now in the blue states. Churches aren't allowed to meet. Or if they are, they're only allowed to meet at 25%. You can't sing. Just because you do not like someone's personality or the way that they talk, he's not trying to push his morals upon us. That's not what he's doing. He's not saying that you have to act in this manner. He's not saying that at all. Because morally, he's not there. I mean, I get it. He's not a moral man. But that doesn't mean that the party that he represents isn't. Okay, back to this article. He goes, say election day. Where does that leave me as I face a civic duty on November 3rd? Here's my answer. I do not require anyone to follow me as if I could. Not my wife, not my friends, not my colleagues. See, this is where I disagree with Piper and his pacifism. You know, he did the same thing a couple of years ago when talking about bringing violence upon others who, I think the story was, broke into his house, tried to rape his wife, and, you know, he wasn't sure what he would do. In the book of Exodus, we're told that if someone breaks in our house in the dark of night and we kill them, then it is just. This is where I lost all respect for Piper. Someone breaks in your house at night and you don't know what you're going to do. Well, you better protect your wife. You better protect your children. You better protect your family that are inside that house. To sit there and say you don't know what you're going to do, that's not a godly man. That's a coward. Goodness gracious, there shouldn't be any thinking involved. It should just be reaction. If you got a gun, you take the gun and you pull the trigger. If you don't have a gun, you take a baseball bat and you start swinging. If you don't have a baseball bat, you take your bare hands and you start choking. Swinging. Gouging out eyeballs. Whatever you can do to protect your household. Man alive. So this is where I'm going with this. Piper's not going to say this, but I am. Because he says that, you know, we shouldn't tell people how to vote. Well, I will tell you that a Christian cannot vote for the anti-God party. I don't even know why this is wrong to say. Why can't Piper see that? Why can't he just come out and say it? But instead, he dances around it. I would actually respect him more if he just came out and said, you can't vote for Trump. You can't vote for Trump because of his arrogance, his pride. It's going to destroy America. I would have much more respect for him if he did that. I don't believe it. Because I don't think, well, I know. I mean, the church isn't looking to the president as their moral guiding light. And if you are, you're stupid. The common man doesn't look to the president as their moral guiding light. And if they do, well, they're stupid as well. You know what the president should be doing? Worrying about the infrastructure and protecting our borders. That's it. It was never, ever in the plans of our founding forefathers for the president to be the moral man that the country should look to. I can't believe this is where we are. Someone like John Piper, who was so well respected at one point in time, has just completely gone off the rails. He goes on to say, I will not develop some calculus to determine which path of destruction I will support. That is not my duty. My calling is to lead people to see Jesus Christ, trust his forgiveness for sins, treasure him above everything in this world, live in a way that shows his all-satisfying value. Okay. Then you can't tell people they can vote for somebody that's into killing babies. My calling is to lead people to see Jesus Christ, trust his forgiveness for sins, treasure him above everything in this world, live in a way that shows his all-satisfying value and help them make it to heaven with love and holiness. That calling is contradicted by supporting either pathway to cultural corruption and eternal ruin. You may believe that there are kinds of support for such pathways that do not involve such contradictions, such an undermining of authentic Christian witness. You may act on what you see. I can't see it. That is why I said my way need not be yours. When I consider the remote possibility that I might do any good by endorsing the devastation already evident and the two choices before me. I am loath to undermine my calling and the church's mission to stand for Christ, exalting faith and hope and love. I will be asked to give an account of my devotion to this life-giving calling. The world will ask, and the Lord of heaven will ask, and my conscience will ask. What will I say? With a cheerful smile, I'll explain to my unbelieving neighbor why my allegiance to Jesus set me at odds with death, death by abortion, and death by arrogance. Says it all, doesn't it? So you're telling me that whatever party, and I got a feeling that Piper is probably going to write in, but you're telling me that whoever you write in isn't an arrogant man, that man doesn't have to repent of that sin. At this point, to be honest, where we are in this election, my fear is that any vote that doesn't go towards the Republican Party is truly a vote that's going to set up the Democratic Party to be in the White House. I guess I might as well finish this. I will take him to Psalm 139, Romans 1. If he is willing, I will show him how abortion and arrogance can be forgiven because of Christ. Okay, that's a valid statement there. And I'll invite him to become an exile, to have a kingdom that will never be shaken, not even when America is a footnote in the archives of the new creation. Let's see. Editor's note. After this article was published, John Piper tweeted, "The article we post today explains why I won't be voting for Biden or Trump. The choice to write in is relatively unimportant, but the reasoning really matters." He then linked to his 1995 article on abortion as a stake in the ground he hopes to never move. Okay, so you know why, if I had to say, the editor's note had to be put in, and that John Piper had to put out a tweet stating that he wasn't voting for Biden or Trump, because this article is so confusing to people. So confusing. It doesn't. And let me finish on this. I don't know how the elders in the church have become so soft and weak, like John Piper, like David Platt, Russell Moore, Albert Mohler. We could continue on and on. Tim Keller. I don't know how it's happened. They're afraid that they're going to upset people, so they have to write articles and books that pander to both sides. Truth doesn't pander to both sides. It doesn't. If you're a man of God, you're going to have more people hating you than liking you. Bottom line, get used to it. It doesn't seem like Piper's willing to do that. It doesn't seem like Platt is willing to do that. Timothy Keller, I don't even understand his tweets anymore. I mean, maybe I'm stupid, and I can accept that, but I read his tweets, and it's like I'm reading a fortune cookie. Well, no, I take that back. I don't mean to degrade fortune cookies. They make more sense than Tim Keller's tweets. And yet, and I'm not a Twitter guy. I just come across it every now and then. But you'll see people like, what's it called, retweeting it, liking it. And I'm like, I don't even understand it. And it's fine. I can sit there and say I don't understand something. You can think I'm the dumbest person in the room, or dumb as a box of rocks, whatever phrase you want to toss around. I just don't get it. Doesn't make sense. Just like Piper's article I just read. Sorry if I wasted 38 minutes of your life with that. I just want to see men behind the pulpit again. I want to see elders speaking the truth, and them being okay with people getting upset with them, because that's what's going to happen when you speak the truth, when you call people on their sins. But I don't agree with Piper's article, how he handled the topic, because it sounds like if you vote for Trump, it's just as evil as voting for Biden and the Democratic baby-killing anti-God party. Explain that to me. Come out with an article explaining that. Not like the one I just read. Tell me why it's okay, Piper, for Christians to vote for the anti-God party. Platt, don't write a book. And these men, look, they're a lot smarter than me. I'm not even going to, they're, their intellect blows mine out of the water. I'm okay with that. But sometimes I think being simple is the best way to communicate. Why is that wrong? I mean, why? Piper wrote an article that took, well, I probably could have read it a little bit faster than what I did, but I don't know how long it took to read. Normally it says, you know, a few minutes to read that article, when he could have just said, hey, it's okay if you vote for the Democratic Party because of Donald Trump's sins of being boastful and prideful, arrogant. Those sins make it okay for you to vote in a party that goes against the word of God. Is that fair? How long did that take me? 35 seconds? Did that take 35 seconds to say? I was just spitballing there. See, even an idiot like me can sum up what Piper's article should have said in three sentences or less. It's a shame. It's a shame. All right, guys. So here's, I'm afraid to make a promise because the one thing that I don't want to do is to have to open up the show repenting every time, but I'm going to try and get back to putting out an episode every single week, and hopefully eventually we'll be able to get Paul and Jeff back on the air as well. Try and be more consistent. I will try and be more consistent. All right, guys, like I said, if you want to be more consistent, we'll have another episode out for you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning back in. We'll talk to you soon.